This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star
Safari. Well, hello and welcome to Why Space.
We had a very productive 2 weeks and we saw all sorts of wonderful things in the sky, but especially a comet.
Yeah, so with a comet, of course, you've been able to see this comet for quite a while now, but mainly in the morning, up until, when was that, about a week and a half ago, when it appeared in the evening, which is far more convenient, especially if you do stargazing at night, then waking up to do stargazing early in the morning doesn't always fit because you have to get up early.
Yeah.
So us being a little bit lazy, we decided not to bother having a look at it in the morning, which probably actually would have been better because it did seem better pictures in the morning, didn't it?
There was
the longer tails and stuff. But anyway, we managed to capture it in the evening at a far more convenient time.
Yeah, but what was really funny about this comet was that there was a lot of hype about it when it came up back in the evening sky. And so media and everybody picked it up to say, this is a one-in-a-lifetime chance to look at this comet of the century. And it's like, really? This is the comet that was in the morning?
Well, it's true that this run of the comet, so it's in the morning and then afternoon, is the only time that you'll ever see this comet, because it is a long period comet. So it means it's trundled in here from way beyond the edge of the solar system, around to this thing called the Oort cloud. Well, we think the Oort cloud, which is a long way away. So it's about an 80,000 year plus period for this comet. So you're not going to see it again.
Yeah, well,
but it's not
unless
the
you
intentionally
forever.
It's not the only comet that ever comes by. And in fact, it wasn't all that impressive. I had a long tail.
I had a very long tail, but it was really hard to photograph, and it was very dim, and it was obviously, because it's a comet, it's on the western horizon, and it was, well, evening comet is not on the western horizon, and so it was in the haze, kind of like lost in the haze, but people who managed to photograph it and stack the pictures together, they discovered a nice surprise. The comet had an anti-tail, which is like a tiny little tail pointing in the opposite way, which was pretty cute.
Yeah, it's pretty neat too, be able to get that, yeah. But it wasn't one of these comets where the tail sort of you can see with your eyes and it covers half the sky like we had kind of 10 to 15 years ago with McNaught and a couple other real big comets. So not quite a... No, well, not a great comet, and certainly not the comet of the century that one or two people were saying they were well off the mark on that one. In fact, it's quite funny because a lot of this stuff gets overhyped, eh? So,
yeah.
Supermoons is my other pet annoyance.
Yeah, I can't stand supermoons and mini moons and all these moons.
Oh, this big carry-on about these moons.
And it's just because...
It's the same moon. It's the same one that's been going around the Earth for, what, 4.2 billion years?
Cool thing about the moon this year, it's the lunisthus. That's a cool thing.
Yeah, so that's different. It only does that every 18 years.
It's like a solstice before the moon. So the moon goes at its furthest point, and we actually saw the moon rising really way all up north.
We did. It was like really high in the sky. The thing is with the moon, right, so it's pretty simple. It goes around the Earth. That's called an orbit. It's a slightly elliptical orbit, so it's a wee bit squished.
Sometimes
it's 5 degree inclination to the way that Earth goes around the sun. And so also what you have is that orbit's a little bit squished. I mean, sometimes it's a tiny bit closer to Earth and other times it's a tiny bit further away. Now, when the full moon, i.e. it's fully illuminated by the sun, so it's on the other side of the Earth from the sun. So you've got the sun, the Earth, then the moon. So it's fully illuminated. When that coincides, when the moon on its orbit is at its closest bit, so perigee, that is when people get all excited and go, oh, supermoon, supermoon. Now, it's only about 10% bigger. So it's not much bigger. It's just a little bit bigger. So it is bigger and it is a little bit brighter, but it's not going to cause earthquakes. It's not going to cause the end of the world or anything crazy like that. The
Like
werewolves
the
don't come
PSA.
out, and it's not, it doesn't change color. It's just a tiny bit bigger. Now, the opposite to that, of course, is when you get a full moon at apogee. So when the moon is furthest away, this is about 405,000 kilometers from the Earth. So I think it's about 360 or something, isn't it? To about 405, something like that. But yeah, when it's furthest away, of course, it's a tiny bit smaller. And you never hear that mentioned. You would have thought, the same as Superman, there should have been like the mini moon or the miniature moon or the tiny moon. But no one ever mentions it. I guess
No,
because
because
that's,
it's tiny and nobody cares about
yeah,
stuff that
which
is
is
small.
kind of, which is, in my view, is just as significant as having it a little bit closer at perigee. So anyway, you get this little people banging on, and most of it, and this is the bizarre thing, most of it comes from the northern hemisphere. So this is this continual encroachment. Well, it's not encroachment because it's kind of where it started, with the
No,
over-exaggeration of
it's just
everything.
media picking
No,
up
it does,
stuff.
no, it comes from the northern hemisphere. So you get all these, like harvest moon, all this sort of stuff is a northern hemisphere thing. It's not a southern hemisphere thing. So you get the media started, originated in the northern hemisphere, and then of course it's picked up in the southern, it's picked up in New Zealand by people that don't really know the difference between the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere, which is the media, because they don't really know a
Which
whole
is what
lot.
I said.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Well, you're from the northern hemisphere, that's right. You've polluted
I
it.
did not. No, it is. And it makes sense there, but it doesn't make sense in here at all.
Yeah. But I mean, what I have seen, it's quite funny, is most people get excited about it, folk from the northern hemisphere. And maybe it's a big deal over there. I don't know. It's certainly never been a big
Depends
deal
on the
here.
country, I guess. Like if
Yeah.
you're maybe America.
Do the British get excited about it?
I don't know.
Yeah. It's always cloudy there, though, so they probably don't see a lot of moons.
Yeah, the moon is the
Excited
moon
every
in
time
New
the moon came
Zealand,
out.
and it's beautiful. And when it's beautiful, what can I say?
But the good news is you don't have to rush out there and go, oh, look, a supermoon, because next month there will be another full moon, and the following month. In fact, the previous month too, there would have been a full moon. And so when the moon is at perigee and being full, it hangs around that for quite a while. So you get a few full moons like that, and then you get a few full moons at the other end. So because it moves around, that point where it hits full moon changes on the orbit of the moon. So it's not always at the same place.
Now, back to the comet. The comet was really big. It was almost anything between 15 and 20 degrees.
The tail,
Yeah, the tail. Yeah. Which is 15 to 20 times larger than the full moon. Well, actually,
Yeah, it's
no,
huge.
double that because the full moon is 0.5 of a degree.
Well, that is bigger, so it would have been 40 times bigger than the full moon.
So imagine I was a monster.
So this comet is called, was it C3? Oh,
A3.
2023 A3 Suchinshan Atlas.
Well done.
Now, what that all that means is 2023. Well, you could probably guess that that's a year. That's last year, in fact. C, I guess that's a comet.
Comment.
A3, I can't remember what that stands for. It might have been to do with the month it was discovered, but the 2023 is the year it was discovered. The A3 is probably the month or something. And the Su Chin Shan is probably the astronomer that found it, right? And Atlas is the system that discovered it. So wee while ale ago, we talked about this because we went to Haleakala about 3 months ago on the big mountain in Hawaii. And Atlas is one of these systems which photographs the sky all the time, like big chunks of it. And it's looking for transient events. And transient events are things that change in the sky. Because if you think about stars, they look the same all the time, pretty much. They do pulsate, they carry on. Occasionally, they blow up, very occasionally. So that's a transient event. So an extra flash in the sky, an extra object that wasn't there last time, something moving across the sky. These are all transient events. So if you take a picture one night, and then you take a picture the next night, and the picture looks different, as in there's an extra light there, then it's something different. It's either a star blowing up, it's either a nova, so a really distant star that you don't normally see going a lot brighter. It's maybe a comet, it might be an asteroid. It's some of these things, it's something different. So these systems are designed to pick up normally the near-Earth objects, but they have a side benefit of picking up whole piles of other stuff. So the comet would have been picked up on Atlas automatically. It would have flagged it as a transient event and then I tried to identify what it was, then passed it on to a bunch of scientists who were interested in that particular type of event. And that was probably, was it?
Yeah, so Tsu Chin San was the name of the observatory, Purple Mountain Observatory,
Oh,
and
yes.
yeah, Minor Planet Center, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So that's neat to get a comet. So comets are quite interesting. Like if you look at Halley's Comet, that has a, that's the famous one. Named after Halley. He didn't name it after himself. He got the name after he died because they had to because he predicted when it was going to come back, and then that he was correct. Only he was dead by then, so they named it after him after that. So that's quite a famous comet. Every 76 years, it does a zoom past Earth. Now it's just gone past its turnaround point out there beyond Neptune. Though it's on a, it's not on the orbital plane, so it's not really past Neptune. It's kind of above it, really. That's on its way back. So they are the kind of what we call the short period comets. So they're within kind of about 80 odd years or so. They come back pretty regularly. Then you've got these crazy long, long, far away ones.
So you can get to see them during your lifetime, but
One off, you
with
get a
these
one
ones,
off.
yeah.
Yeah. And
And
then you get these absolutely bizarre ones like Oumuamua, which was kind of a comet slash asteroid from another system. So it wasn't even part of the sun's one. And those ones just come on in and off they go. So we've seen two of those, Bob Borisov or whatever it was, and Oumuamua was the second one. And of course, we met the guy who spotted Oumuamua when we were in Hawaii, which is pretty cool.
yeah, that was pretty cool to meet him. So, what is this Oort cloud? Oort cloud is a very interesting concept. It's a cloud of
What?
tiny little Oort
Well, that's water cloud,
named
right?
after Mr. Jan Oort,
Yeah,
the
big family. There's a lot of
Dutch
them out. There's a lot of
astronomer.
them out there.
So somewhere on the outskirts of our solar system, far, far away, all the way to almost 3 light years away from the sun.
I thought it was like
Most,
one light year.
well, yeah, mostly is 1 light year
Yeah.
concentrated, but it can go all the way to that far, far away.
Does that mean we? So if they go to say between 1 and 3 light years, this cloud of icy stuff. Does that mean then that Alpha Centauri might have one as well? And some of that one could be actually a bit closer
They
to
might
us.
be touching each other or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe
Hey, wouldn't it be
entering
cool
into
if
each other's
some of these rocks, maybe, or bits of
or
ice,
bits
are
of
actually
ice would
from Alpha
be,
Centauri?
that would be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why it's a really cool idea to send spacecraft to intercept all these things. And
Now, the important thing is about the Oort cloud is no one's ever seen it. We don't know if it actually exists because it's theorized, it's never actually been detected. Because what it is a theoretical cloud of little bits of ice a long way away. And of course, being little bits of ice a long, long way away is you can't see them and you can't detect them. But we do see stuff trundling on into the solar system and they've come from somewhere. And if you kind of plot all the orbits, it would indicate there's this bunch of stuff a long way away.
but it's still a very cool concept, and it's kind of like our eggshell around our solar system, marking the boundary, because you have to have a boundary at some point. And you have all these objects that are coming from there, and that's what the Oort cloud stands for. And that's why all these comets are said to come from the Oort cloud.
The long period ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So comet, what are comets anyway? So they're basically snowballs of dirty ice, and as they get closer to the sun heats them up. And sort of stuff comes off them. Now, some there's in the solar system, there's some kind of cool areas, well, cool, actually really cool areas because the things freeze. Basically, the further you get away from the sun, the colder it gets. And if you trundle out a little bit further than Mars and you're out there in the sunlight, so imagine you're in your spaceship, right? This takes a bit of take a bit of imagination. So pretend you're in your spaceship. In fact, worry about Mars. We'll start off at Mercury. So you're in your spaceship and you're in sunshine. So the key is you've got to be in sunlight. You're not hiding behind a planet or an asteroid like on the Expanse, you know, waiting for the bad guys to turn up and then launch your missiles. You're just a nice, peaceful person in your spaceship trundling around the solar system. So you have your temperature gauge out and you're out in the sunshine in your spaceship. It's about 430 degrees if you're roughly about 50 million Ks from the sun. So that's fairly toasty, right?
Yeah.
Now you can't, water doesn't like that. Water gets a bit hot, it boils off and evaporates. And so that close to the sun, It's pretty hard for water to exist. Though on Mercury, there are patches which are much, much colder, so you can actually find ice. So it's a bit weird. Now, if you get a little bit further out, you wander out to 100 million kilometers, you're kind of around where Venus is. That temperature outside is going to be 200, I think it's about 250 degrees, something like that. So a bit cooler. Venus, of course, is much hotter than that because it's got that blanket that traps all the heat in, which is its atmosphere, it's full of clouds and stuff. Then you get out to about where Earth is, and I think we're around 120, 130 degrees out in space in sunshine. Obviously, we don't get that hot on Earth because we've got an atmosphere that spreads the heat around. So the cold bit on the nighttime side spreads around with the warm bit on the other side. And then if you get out to Mars, in fact, just beyond Mars, you get to the point where you're in sunshine where it freezes. So that's where water freezes. And that's the first interesting thing that freezes. Now, beyond that, the other stuff starts freezing, like carbon dioxide, oxygen, nitrogen, all that stuff. So by the time you get out to Pluto, everything's frozen and you just can't have anything that's not frozen. And of course, you think, well, what about these big planets out there like Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune, Saturn stuff? They're not frozen. Well, the ice giants have frozen clouds in them, frozen clouds of ice. But those planets, because they've got, they're really, really dense, so they had generated a bit of their own heat from that gravitational collapse. So where the comets hang out, of course, they start where everything's frozen. So they've got lots of frozen stuff in them, like frozen water and a whole bunch of other compounds, lots of volatile, what we call volatile. So these are things that once they get warmed up, they basically turn to gas and they get ejected off. And that's what you see. So as the comet starts getting closer and closer to the sun, basically it melts. And because stuff doesn't turn to liquid in space, because there's no air pressure, it basically sublimates. It goes straight into a gas. And you'll see, and this is what we see. We see this tail of this gas and stuff cooking off. And then you get the other tail. There's kind of other tails as well, which happen, which are sort of heavier elements that sort of get blasted off into different angles.
Define heavier elements.
Well, heavier than hydrogen. And so this is why you see this distinctive tail. So the big giant tail we always see is always pointing away from the sun. And that's because that's the all the material getting blasted off the comet by the sun.
Yeah, and for a long time in history, these comets were the bringers of death and destruction. And you look at pictures, like for example, some of the grand comets that have been in, like McNaught. That was amazing. I remember seeing that when I just arrived in New Zealand. I think it was 2007 when McNaught was, and it had just the whole sky. I remember standing on one of the roads and just looking into the sunset, and the comet was just covering the entire sky, and I just couldn't believe it. It was one of the most wonderful things and amazing that I'd seen. But if you were a citizen 100 years ago, 300 years ago, 1,000 years ago, and you would be
Or
one of
not
them,
even a citizen.
or not even a citizen, or yeah, and you see
Just a
these
person
things,
or a cat.
or a cat. Well, I don't know about cats, but a person. And so they're kind of like curved because the tail is curved, right? And they're literally looking as if they're gonna come and fall onto Earth. So you can see why people were so scared.
Yeah, they got freaked out by them. So they would say, it was really interesting because a lot of the sort of survey work that's done now has its roots in early astronomers. And by early astronomers, we mean ones about 300 years ago. Because before that, astronomy was a bit flaky, wasn't it?
Mr. Charles Messier,
Yeah,
who
exactly.
produced the most amazing catalogue
Which is
of
a not a comet
objects,
list.
not a comet list.
Because way back then in the 17 somethings, he was working for the French king, and his job was to basically look out for comets. And he would spot one or two comets, but he kept finding all this other stuff that wasn't a comet. So he made this list of things that wasn't a comet. Now, the list wasn't very long, it was about 40 or 50 objects or so, and it got added to over time. But now that we have this list called the Messier list of stuff to look at, it's 110 different objects which are quite bright and they're quite cool to look at in the night sky, which is pretty amazing. So, and that was really, I guess, the birth of the survey work where you try and just map the whole sky and look for really interesting things so you can work out what's going on. Now, of course, he did it not He did it because he was getting paid by the French king, but he was actually really interested in astronomy. He was not so overly so bothered with the comet thing, but he had to produce the Not a Comet list for the French king and identify comets because the king was interested in comets because he
Because of the
thought,
astrology.
yeah, because he thought the comets would indicate how well the harvest's going to go and how well they're going to go in war.
So, yeah, go figure.
Yeah.
But I think good news, there is another co potential comet coming in November.
Another one, January, is always the
Yeah.
same one. There's one which we think might be breaking up.
So
Yeah.
keep your eyes up. And even though this comet wasn't the best one, it was a good comet to get people out of their house to take pictures of it, to measure
Okay.
it, to it wasn't too bad. Like if you had a camera and you would put it on a tripod, you would get a picture of the comet.
Some people have quite good mobile phone pictures of it too, which is
Yeah,
really good.
yeah. So you can take a picture of a comet with any equipment as long as you wanna do it and
The
have a
cool
tripod.
thing about the media hyping and stuff is that actually people get interested in it and they go out and have a look, which is kind of good. The
So, so
problem with
maybe
the problem
it's
with
good to have a micro moon and a
the pro
harvest moon.
the problem with overhyping it, of course, is then people get disappointed. So when they overhype the comet, people go, oh, I'm going to go outside, I'm going to see this massive comet, and then they can't see it at all.
And it's
And they
like,
see this
yeah.
little pixel on their camera.
Like someone said to us, oh, your telescope is not in focus. And we're like, obviously you have never seen a comet before.
That's what they look like, fuzzy balls.
Fuzzy balls, yeah.
Yeah.
So it is interesting. Like we think it's fascinating, and they're like really cute little fluffy fuzzy things in the telescope. And if you take a picture with a camera, they're just have these beautiful tails. But there are very interesting objects, and
Well, you
they
can
tell
see
the
them.
story of the solar system.
You can see them in the telescope. You see like the dense core, which is quite bright, and then you see that sort of fuzzy area around it. And often you can see quite a defined sort of halo around it, and then you see where the tail is forming. And sometimes the tail can split, so you see there's two bits, or you can see wavy bits on it. In fact, the comet we saw, the previous one, which was earlier in the year, that had two quite distinct bits to
It
the
did,
tail, which was quite cool. And when
yeah.
you look in the telescope, like quite zoomed in, say 200 times magnification, you can actually see some of these features, which is quite cool, especially if they're a bright enough comet. And this comet, C2023A3 Zhuchin Sam Atlas,
Well done.
that's its short name. That you could totally see all that stuff in the telescope, which is pretty cool. Sometimes they're a little bit dimmer and you can't see much at all. So it's pretty lucky. So keep hunting comets. When they overhype them, still get outside and have a look.
We're lucky to live in a dark sky reserve, so
Yeah, you can see them.
way better here than anywhere else in the world to see it. So keep looking up
And that's all from us at Wise Space.
from Harry and Sam.
See you next time.
Wishing you clear skies.
Star Safari. Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.